I am soft His grace, my gracious Master and my God assist me to proclaim, to spread to all the earth abroad the honors of Thy name. Number 4, He breaks the power of cancer sin. He frees the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood avail for me. Please be seated. Let us pray. Eternal and loving God, we thank you for the manifold blessings that you shower upon us every day. Even when we don't deserve it, we are not worthy of your grace, you still love us and you shower your blessings every day. We thank you for that. Thank you for giving us another day to live in this world and to come gather together on this Sunday to worship you together in this church and also online. We thank you for everything that you give us, which is your gift, and help us to be always grateful for that. Help us, Lord, to realize that in Jesus Christ, you give us the grace to be your children, and you open the way of eternal life to every race and nation, and also send your Holy Spirit to be our comforter, our counselor, to guide us every day. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, eternal and ever living. Help us, Lord, to worship you in truth and in spirit. May the services of word and praise that we offer here today bring honor and glory to your name and blessing to your people. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. It is our greeting time now. If you are able, please stand up and greet each other in Christian love. Okay. Yeah, well, I need the every hour after that. So we'll sing this hymn after the prayer. Are there anybody here or that you want to remember for this month's birthday or anniversaries or graduation or any celebrations? Anybody here from July? Oh, yes. Yeah, Guillermo had a birthday. And anybody else? Birthday, anniversaries, graduations, any celebrations in the family? New babies? No. Okay, we'll sing a birthday for Guillermo. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Guillermo. Happy birthday to you. God bless you. All right, now if you remain seated, we will sing I Need Thee Every Hour, which is 397. Please remain seated. We will sing 1, 2, and 5. I need Thee every hour, most precious Lord. No tender voice like Thine can peace afford. I need Thee, oh I need Thee, every hour I need Thee. Oh bless me now my Savior, I come to Thee, oh, I need Thee every hour.
every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed son. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee.
Our responsive reading is Psalm 91, which is on page 810 of the hymnal. You can turn that with me. We will read verses 1 through 16, page 810. If you are able, please stand. Those who dwell in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For the Lord will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence, and will cover you with his pinions. Under the Lord's wings you will find refuge. God's faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your habitation, no evil shall befall you, no scourge will come near your tent. For God will give you angels charge over you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, lest you dash against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder. The young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because they cleave to me in love, I will deliver them. I will protect them because they know my name. When they call to me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. I will satisfy them with long life and show them my salvation. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. It's our prayer time now, as we come before God as a church family to share our prayers of blessings and our concerns together and lift them up to the Lord of grace. God has promised that he will answer our prayers according to his grace and his time. So this is the time to share our prayers of blessings so that we can thank God and also our concerns and burdens together. And the prayer requests that we have on our bulletin is at the back, if you want to turn with me. Couple of call outs that we want to make. Please keep Carol Clements in our prayers, as she's recovering from her fall and she has to go back for another surgery if everything works out well. And Wayne said she had some pain last night, and please keep her in our prayers. And you, many of you know that she had a fall and she broke her wrist, and that also messed up her hip a little bit. That was already had a surgery before, but they have to correct that now with another surgery. So please keep her in our prayers. We visited her last week. She's in good spirits, but please keep her, especially with the pain.
She was in good spirits while you were there.
Oh. Yeah, she was in good spirits at that time, at least. She was very nice to us. And even though she had pain, she didn't show anything, which is good. But it's not easy when you are old and you have pain in your hand, wrist and hand everywhere.
Well, the other problem is that they may have to put a pacemaker in before they can do surgery. That's still up in the air.
Okay. So keep vain in our prayers too. Because he's the caretaker. And I just talked to Martha. She has to go back to the PET scan next Friday. And she had to do a cataract surgery tomorrow, right, Martha?
I see the doctor tomorrow to get everything started for the process of getting the cataracts removed.
Okay. So please keep Martha and also Rich in our prayers. And George Vergis, that I have been sharing with you, my friend who is a professor in downtown one of the colleges, he's in the hospital still. We visited him yesterday. Still doing good, but his leak from the stomach is not stopping. And he's still being fed through tube. He hasn't had anything by mouth over 70 days now, which is not good. And he's in good health, but he needs to get out of that tubes. And please pray for him. And we prayed for Todd Barwa last Sunday that Martha shared, Rich's brother. And how is he doing, Martha?
It's Rich's son, and he's doing better now. He's doing real well. Thank you for the prayers.
Is it Rich's son?
Yes, it's his son.
Okay. We'll keep him in our prayers. Those are the immediate call-outs that I have. Yes.
I have a blessing. Number one, April 9th. Uh-huh. She's doing well, finally. Okay. What she has was like a colitis, but instead of staying where colitis normally does, it was up the whole of her intestines. But she's doing well. And I have also a prayer request. A very close friend of mine, her son, I guess, 40-something-ish, he had a problem. They fixed it. They put it in ostomy. A couple of days ago, they went in to rejoin it. He coded on the table. He laid there for 2 hours, and day before yesterday, she, along, of course, with his wife being primary, but they went and they held his hand while everything was disconnected, and he went to be with the Lord. My friend is a pastor. Her son, well, he better be a Christian because she'd fix it if he weren't. But this for her is horrible. She went to Seattle to live with him. And this has all kinds of emotional, but additionally, other issues for her.
And what's her name?
Her name is Liz.
Liz. Okay.
And she is, I don't know, she's a good lady who does much for others.
Is she in Georgia or New York?
No, now she's in the state of Washington, Seattle.
Oh, Seattle.
She went to live with her son. So if we could just pray for peace for her.
Yes, sir. Okay. And, you know, April Knight is her daughter-in-law. He prayed for her before. They had some issues with her digestive system that they could not find out. But the good news is that they are back to normal now, which is good.
Well, normal as you ever are with
whatever you can have.
But she's living.
Yeah, at least you know what the problem is. Any others? If not, let us continue to pray for our country, our president. I know President Biden had COVID, and I heard that he had COVID back again. He came back again. So please keep him in our prayers for a full recovery and strength in his body and spirits, and also our leaders of the Congress, governors of the states, and all the leaders who make decisions, that God will give them the right wisdom to do the right things. And also our service workers, our medical professionals, and grocery clerks, and delivery workers, and police, military, fire. And particularly remember Ian McGee in our prayers as well. one of ours who is in the military serving now. So please keep our military and all the service workers in our prayers also. Let us go to God in prayer together and spend a few moments in silent prayer. And then I will close with a summarized prayer. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we come before you as your children, trusting in your promise that you will answer our prayers according to your will and your time. We come before you with a grateful heart that you gave us the health and strength in our bodies to get up to live one more day in this world. The life that we live in this world is a gift from you. It was not our choice. Help us not to use it for our self-centered things, but to use it for the blessing of this world and bring honor and glory to your name, Lord. Thank you for all the opportunities that you give us to serve others every day. Above all, we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us so that we could come before you and call you Father. Thank you again for loving us in spite of our conditions and giving us the grace every day to live. We lift up all of those who need your healing and comfort at this time. Guide us with your Holy Spirit every day to live in this world for the glory of your name, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in everything we do. Particularly, we pray for those who need your protection and guidance and healing at this time. The ones who have named here particularly, we lift up Carol Clements in your hands, Lord, as she is going through some pain with her wrist and her hip. Bless her with your grace to go through this situation, Lord, with grace. We pray that you'll touch her with your healing hand and heal her completely, recover her back to normal, especially as they're planning for future pacemaker and a surgery in the future. We pray for your guidance for the doctors and the nurses to do the right decisions and make the surgery a success. We pray for Martha as she's going back for her PET scan and also her cataract surgery. We pray that your grace be upon her and all the things that she needs to take care of on her health side and also Rich. We pray for Todd, Barbara, and also thank you for the continued healing for him and be with him and his family as well, Lord. We pray for George Vorgis. We pray for a miracle for him that his tubes can be taken out and the leak will be stopped. We pray for your grace upon him as he's going through a long time of recovery. We pray that your grace be upon him and also his wife and family. Bless them with your peace. We thank you for the good news about April Knight. Continue to be with her, to trust in you for her future recovery. And whatever she has to go through, Lord, give her the grace to continue with the symptoms or the problems that she has. We pray for Jan's friend, Liz, and her family as they're grieving at the death of their dear one. Bless them with your peace, Lord, and comfort them with your presence. Even when in the times of grief and separation, sometimes words cannot give any comfort, but we know that your word is the eternal comforting place that we can always come to. Help them, help them, Lord, and we trust them with your presence at this time. We pray for all of those who are struggling with various illnesses, especially we also pray for Miss Lou as she's recovering from COVID. And we heard that she's doing much better, but she's weak in her body. Strengthen her, Lord, in her spirit and her body, that she can come and join us in the church again soon. We pray for all of those who are struggling like that with various illnesses and problems and difficulties with their health and in their bodies. We pray for our nation as we are going through another election cycle. We pray for your grace for the leaders and the people to elect the right people at the right places. We pray for our president, our vice president, and all of those who are making decisions, our governors of the state and many others, that they will be guided by the Holy Spirit and given the wisdom to do the right thing. Lord, we pray for the world leaders, particularly big nation leaders who are driving many of the things about the world. We pray for Ukraine and the people there, and Putin and Russian people, and all those who are at war. We pray that you bring peace and close all these wars and end all these wars around the world. We pray for your guidance, especially for those people who are affected by the weather conditions in Kentucky. A lot of people have lost their lives, and we pray for their families at this time as they're grieving. Bless them with your peace and comfort them with your presence. We pray for the relief workers that are working there. Give them the grace and the blessings that they need and the resources there, Lord, that they can do everything that they can do to help them. Help us always to be caring and compassionate, and remember these people who need our help and our prayers every day. We thank you for this time that you've given us to gather here in your name, Lord, and to worship together, Lord. Help us, Lord, as a church to do your work in this community faithfully and around the world. The opportunities that you have given us, Lord, help us to use them very faithfully with the resources that you have given us, Lord. Bless us today with our worship, in our worship with your presence. Lord, let our praises, our prayers, our meditation of the word, everything that we do here and the luncheon that we have after service will bring honor and glory to your name and blessing to your people. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come forward and take up the offering, please. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Loving God, you are the source of all that we have and all we are. We come before you with a portion of what you have given us, Lord. Bless these offerings of your people. Take it and use it for the glory of your name, to spread your love and care and compassion to this community and around the world. Help us, Lord, to remember that in Jesus Christ, you have given us more than we could ever deserve. We thank you for all those who were able to give today and pray for those who could not give today. Bless them all and cover them with your love and protection, Lord. Help us to be faithful stewards of your abundance in this world that you have blessed us with. We offer ourselves at this time and help us, Lord, to do your work faithfully in the opportunities that you have given us, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. As we remain standing, we will read the scripture which is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 21, verses 8 through 21. Genesis 21, verses 8 through 21.
The child grew and was weaned, and on the day Isaac was weaned, Abraham held a great feast. But Sarah saw that the son whom Hagar the Egyptian had borne to Abraham was mocking, and she said to Abraham, "Get rid of that slave woman and her son, for that woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son Isaac." The matter distressed Abraham greatly because it concerned his son. But God said to him, "Do not be so distressed about the boy and your slave woman. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. I will make the son of the slave into a nation also, because he is your offspring." Early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. He set them on her shoulders and sent her off with the boy. She went on her way and wandered into the desert of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she put the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went off and sat down about a bow shot away, for she thought, "I cannot watch the boy die." And as she sat there, she began to sob. God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy as he grew up. He lived in the desert and became an archer. While he was living in the desert of Paran, his mother got a wife for him from Egypt. Blessed be the word of God, as these are the words of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the word that you have given us, Lord, as our life and spirit. As we come before your word, help us, Lord, to have a humble spirit and an obedient soul, that we can obey whatever you command us to do. Open our hearts and our minds so that we can see the truth behind the words that we have heard today. Help us, Lord, to be obedient to your word, and also open our souls that it will illumine our souls so that we can be a light to this world because of your word. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You were all listening to the story that we just read today here from Genesis about the birth of Isaac, and along with all the problems that Abraham and Sarah had to go through. And when I preached this several times in many different places, and one time I asked them, "What did you really learn from this passage when you heard it?" And one of them called out and said, "Listen to whatever Sarah tells to you." Because Sarah was Abraham's wife, and God was telling him, "Listen to her. Whatever she tells you to do, you do it." That's what she heard from this passage. But that's not what I am actually preaching about. It is about God's ways and our ways are different. And when we get into a conflict with God's ways and our ways, many times we find ourselves in a lot of distress. it may be on our own doing, it may not be our own doing, but things get in a lot of stress when we go out of way in many times. And that is what happened in the life of Abraham. And I don't have to give you an introduction about Abraham. And Abraham's wife, Sarah, did not have children for a long time, and they prayed for one. But God promised that God is going to bless this world through the descendants of Abraham, who did not have any children. So they questioned God, and they have doubts. Like anybody of us will have doubts like that. How is he going to have descendants if you don't have children? So what they were planning for so many years and did not happen, and they asked God about the future. And one day, Sarah said, well, you don't have any children, but I like to have a baby in this house like any other woman would like to. So why don't you have a baby with Hagar, who is one of their servant girls? So it was Sarah who suggested it. And then Abraham obeyed or listened to her, and they had a boy in Hagar, who is Ishmael. And if you look at the history of Ishmael, he is the firstborn, really, but from a servant girl. But Isaac eventually was born, and Sarah had a baby eventually after 25 years after that God promised them to have a child. And Abraham was 100 years old, and Sarah was in her late 90s. And ultimately, they lost all their hopes. But God is able to do anything, and God is going to make possible that we think are impossible things. And we know that from our experiences many times. And we forget that anyway sometimes when we come into difficulties over and over again. But the first time Abraham listened to Sarah, and they had a baby through the servant girl, Hagar, and he grew up. And then Sarah had a baby, Isaac, and Isaac was just born about Ishmael was about 14 or 15 years old. If you go back and look at the story, you know what the problem is. And you have a servant girl who have a baby, and also your wife has a baby, there's going to be definitely a problem. I mean, you are talking about problems. And then Sarah has problems with the Hagar, and Ishmael has problems with the new baby, and all these kinds of problems. And who is in the middle of all of these things? Abraham. He has to figure out a way out of it. So you're talking about stress. We all know stress in our lives. That's a real thing, and we all have to go through stress. There is no life without stress. But my topic here is there life after stress? You know, you don't have a life without stress. Even the smallest baby born into the world is coming into a stressful time with her health, with his health, or environmental changes. And, you know, even though the baby does not have a lot of stress that we think as it is, but otherwise the baby is under stress. And as they grow up, they're also under stress. Even the smallest, tiniest baby also is under stress in this world. There's no question about it that we cannot get out of stress. But we can find a life after stress if we try to do it. There are ways we can do it. That's what this story tells us to do. So when Abraham found himself in the middle of all of these things, God appeared to him, and he was so stressed out, and he didn't know what to do with the boy who is from the Hagar, and who is the new boy, the promised son, who is very small and little. So, and Sarah is now asking Abraham to send the servant girl and the boy away. I mean, is that the right thing to do? It's very hard to preach on these kind of things when somebody sends that boy and the girl away. But if you look at the passage very closely, it was not particularly Abraham's decision to send her away. She had all the freedom, and the boy had all the freedom to do it. Because of the life situation with Hagar and Sarah not getting along together, and also the boys could not getting along, they had to find a way to separate them. So Sarah suggested that separate Hagar from me and the child from me so we can, you know, live peacefully. That's exactly what happened. And Abraham probably had some plans to resettle Hagar and her son. But looking at the history of Hagar, the servant girl, she had run away before. She had run away before one time. And she had a fight with Sarah before. She ran away and then they came back. So most people are thinking that it was her decision to leave with the boy and go find a place somewhere. And she decided to go to the desert with the boy. And many times when you read about this situation here, we think that the boy was a very little baby. That's what we get the picture. He was not a little baby at that time, because the timeline that we see is about 15 years after he was born, that Isaac was born. So actually Hagar and Ishmael left the house to the desert about 15 or 16 years old, when he was about 15 or 16 years old. So he was not a little boy, as we think, a lot of people think it is, based on the timelines that we can see there. So they both went into the desert, and they didn't have any food and anybody to take care of them, but Abraham gave them something as they left, according to her choice, I believe. And then eventually all of that ran out, and she wanted to die in the desert with the boy. That's when the angel of the Lord appeared to her and nourished her with a well of water. And all of that story is listed there. But all of these things that happened in Abraham's life was so much a stressful life, even though he was a faithful servant of God, who actually left his home and his family to a faraway place that he did not know, because God told him to do, to go. And he did that. He obeyed God. He was one of the most obedient servants of God, that according to the Bible that we read. He is the father of all people who are believers. That's what we read in the Bible. So he had a lot of stress in the situation, but ultimately he was able to figure it out. So a couple of things that I wanted to bring about this situation is, no one is immune to stress. Stress is no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter if you have little faith or a lot of faith. If you have rich or poor, you are small or big or an adult, regardless of where you are or what you do, we are all under stress in our lives. Whether it is a burdensome responsibility or a difficult marriage or a jobless situation or a grief or a loneliness, it is real that we all go through stress. But how we respond to the stress is what matters if we can have a life after stress. It is not a life without stress. It is a life after stress. How we find a stress-free life in the midst of the stressful situations that we have. First of all, there are situations where we can use our stressful situations to our benefits. That is, I read a book that they call it Transforming Stress to work for us. Many times we can take the troublesome situations that give us stress, and we can use them to use for our benefit, so that it can be a healthy stress. I don't know if you know the term eustress, E-U-S-T-R-E-S-S. Eustress is a healthy stress, and distress is the bad stress. So distress and eustress. And if you don't have the good stress, you really don't have an enjoyable life, because stress gives us some enjoyment in our lives. The eustress or the healthy stress are things like when you get a promotion. I know it gets with more stress, but at the same time, you're happy because you get a promotion. Or you buy a new house. It comes with a lot of stress, doesn't it? But we are all enjoy that, right? Eustress. And a new child or a new family, everything that's stressful when you start things like that, we like to have, but those stresses are healthy. And we need those stresses. Enjoy life, right? So thank God for those stresses. But don't overdo it, because when you buy a house or when you buy a car or when you make a decision about your job, what is it that matters that make a decision? Is it just the money, or is it just a big house? That is what makes the difference between eustress and distress. If you don't have the income to buy a car, and you go ahead and buy, seeing that you can enjoy it, you may be happy for the time being, but in a couple of months, somebody is going to get that car if you can pay that bill. That is distress. So a eustress can change into a distress if you do not do the right thing and plan the right things. Do the best with what God has given you to do. And you can change the good, the stress to benefit for you and work for you and transforming stress to your situation. And some of the stresses that we have that we try to run away from, that I talked about that, like Hagar and her son tried to do, to run away from the problem, is not going to fix the problem until we face the problem and resolve that problem. And the other way to handle the stress is to address the problem whenever it comes. As Abraham and Sarah learned, do not make decisions without prayer and much preparation. Sarah and Abraham, I don't think, asked God about the decision to have a child from Hagar. I don't know, because I don't think it was the right decision. That caused all the problems in the world even now. The Muslims believe that the firstborn of Abraham is Ishmael. And it's not Isaac that, as we believe, is the promised son. I mean, technically, the firstborn from the servant girl is Ishmael. And they believe that they are the descendants of Ishmael, who is the firstborn of Abraham. But the promised son is Isaac, that we believe is that we are descendants of through Jesus Christ. And Jews are also believing that they are the descendants of Isaac. So the world history changed because of a decision that Abraham and Sarah made. Rather than waiting for God's will to fulfill in their lives, they made a decision to have a baby. Now the whole history has changed. And ever since, the world was not the same. As you can see now, the Middle East is boiling every day. And anything can happen anytime in the Middle East because of the tension going between Jews and Muslims there. And these are all things that sometimes we find ourselves that, you know, what a tangled web we weave, times of, you know. So please remember, when we make decisions about our jobs, about moving, about buying a house or a car, or getting married, things like that, take time to reflect on our lives and go to God in prayer. Read the Bible, meditate on the word of God, that we can get the right directions. And I'm sure, in my experience, if you wait on God and sincerely pray for until God reveals the right answer, when you have the right answer, what's the difference? You will get a peace in your mind. You get settled. And then you know that it's the right decision. But until that time, you will be all in distress. You don't know if it's the right decision. Should I do this? Should I do that? But wait on the God. Wait on God and pray and meditate on the word of God until you find peace with that situation. That means you have the right decision when you have peace. And finally, the last thing to do is, a lot of things are out of our control. Leave it in the hands of God, like Abraham did. And, you know, God is the ultimate powerful person who can give us peace and resolve our stressful situations. So whatever we can transform to our healthy situations, do that. And then wait on God and read the word of God and meditate on it. And leave everything into the hands of God. And trust in a God who will do the right thing at the right time so that we can have a stress-free life. God is a good God. Jesus said, do not be anxious and do not be in distress. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will wear. Many of our fears are about our future, the unknown aspects of our future. You know, that's why we fear death a lot. Why are we afraid of death? We all say that, oh no, I'm not afraid of death. But do you really want to die? No. You don't. Nobody wants to die. It is because of the unknown facts about death. But Bible clearly tells us that there is a life after death. We don't have to be afraid of even death. So fear is something that gives us a lot of stress. Do not be afraid. You can see that over and over in the Bible, all the way from the beginning to the end. That is what Abraham was told by God. Do not be afraid. Do not be distressed. The God Almighty is going to be there to give you peace. A good friend of mine who lost her husband about 30 years after their marriage was hurt, and she said she could not go on without him. And he supported her all her life, and she didn't know how to even write a check. She didn't do it. And all of a sudden he was taken away. And she was so upset that it happened without notice. I mean, that happens. We have to be prepared for that. Life is transient. That can happen to anybody at any time. So do not be angry at God, because the reality of world life is like that. It is not God taking your people away from you. It is nature. That is the fact of life that we have to turn. So he supported her all her life, and he's gone, never to return. And she didn't know how to manage everything. And she was so distraught. I didn't know how to comfort her. I was trying to find the right words to give her, but you know, I didn't know what to say. So we talked about how faith does not exempt us from problems, but God gives us the strength to keep on. Then she heard about, we read Psalm 91, we read today, and she read that Psalm over and over again. And then she wiped her tears and told me, you know, sometimes we have to walk through pain, but God walks with us in our stress and in our pain, because he loves us. That is the bigger, but that's the most comforting word that gave me comfort, because I didn't know how to comfort her. Eventually, the word of God, after we reading it and meditating on it, she was comforted with that word, and she was assured that God's presence is going to be with her. Christians do not walk alone. The all-powerful, almighty God, the omnipotent and all-knowing God is our companion. He will take care of every single need of ours. Trust in a God who will be there faithfully. He has not failed us in the past. Even though we fail him many times, he still loves us, and he will be with us as we go through this life situation, a difficult and stressful time. I remember a children's song that I learned while I was young. Probably you may all know that. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. I don't know how many of you know that. It says like this: my God is so big, he's so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. He parted the sea. He helped a boy to bring a giant right down. Joshua marched the walls and fall to the ground. But if you want to question my God and his always and his ways, I will look into your eyes and say, yes, my God is so big and so strong and so mighty. There is nothing my God cannot do. Our almighty God is all powerful, and there is nothing he cannot do. Go in that promise that he's going to be there in our stressful situations. And there is a life after stress if we trust in God. Go in peace knowing that. May the good Lord bless us these words. Amen. The closing hymn is God Will Take Care of You, which is 130. If you're able, please stand for, you'll sing all the stanzas, 1, 2, 3, and 4. Please stand if you're able.
Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love above, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or on the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through days of toil, when heart doth fail, God will take care of you. When dangers fierce your path assail, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. All you may need, He will provide. God will take care of you. Nothing you ask will be denied. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lead Mary one upon His breast, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you.
People of God, go in the knowledge that God will take care of you no matter what may be the test. Don't be distressed, because God is going to be there, and we have a life after stress. Trust in a God who is going to be there, and He is faithful. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Have a good week.